This is Morning Edition on NHPR. I'm Rick Ganley, and this is the New Hampshire News Recap. Last fall, in Maine and New Hampshire, there were two deadly shootings that left communities shaken. In Lewiston, a gunman killed 18 people and injured 13 others during a rampage. 4 weeks later, a man walked into a psychiatric hospital in Concord and opened fire, killing a security guard. A state police officer was on scene and shot the gunman. Lawmakers vowed to respond to both acts of violence, and that work is happening now in both state capitals. Joining me now to tell us more are NHPR's Todd Bookman and Maine Public's Steve Missler. Thanks to you both for being here.
Thank you, Rick.
My pleasure, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Now, in Lewiston last October, a gunman entered a bowling alley and a pub with an assault-style rifle. He was a member of the military with a history of mental illness and threatening behavior. Steve, let's start with the response in Maine in the wake of that tragedy. Democrats there have unveiled a package of gun reforms that they hope to enact. What are the major pieces of legislation that they're hoping to pass?
Yeah, I think the big ones are a three-day waiting period for most firearm sales and a ban on bump stocks, which are devices that can make semi-automatic rifles fire almost as rapidly as a machine gun. What's missing, at least in the view of gun safety advocates, are an assault weapons ban and magazine size limits. But those proposals have never fared very well in the Maine legislature, even when Democrats are in control, and they have been since 2019. But gun politics in Maine, just like New Hampshire, are pretty tricky. We have some of the most permissive gun laws in the country, and that's largely because of the high rate of gun ownership, a rich hunting tradition, and low crime rates. And the Lewiston shootings may have changed that dynamic a bit, but I think lawmakers here aren't quite sure by how much, so they've taken a politically cautious approach.
What have the scenes been like at the State House during public hearings? A lot of raw emotions, I'm assuming, given the scale of the Lewiston tragedy.
Well, there's certainly been a sense of urgency because of what happened in Lewiston, and there has been a lot of raw emotions that have come out during these public hearings. Sometimes that's manifested in grief. Other times, frankly, it's just anger. This week's hearing on the bump stock ban was a good example. The overwhelming response from gun safety advocates was, why isn't this an assault weapons ban? They said that over and over. But Democrats have decided to focus on mental health and the accessibility of guns, not the number or type of guns currently available for purchase.
Now, Democrats do hold majorities in the Maine legislature, Steve, though some of those bills may not be straight party line issues, as you pointed out. But what's the governor, Janet Mills, also a Democrat, had to say about reforms that she's willing to back?
Right. So the governor has put forward her own proposal, and it's even more cautious than what her counterparts in the legislature are backing. I think her proposal to expand background checks to advertised gun sales is perhaps the most ambitious aspect of her proposal. But it also creates a network of crisis prevention centers for people experiencing mental health emergencies. And there's also a slight tweak to Maine's extreme risk protection order law, which is a process to confiscate someone's guns if they're deemed a risk to themselves or others. The governor's proposal doesn't change that process, but it does give police a little more latitude to take someone into protective custody, which is the first step, first of several steps in confiscating their weapons.
Now, here in New Hampshire, Republicans hold a razor-thin majority in the House and control the Senate and governor's office. So let me bring Todd in here. Todd, what's that meant for any action on gun control in Concord this session?
Yeah, well, as in Maine, Democrats here have rolled out their own package of gun reform efforts, but to date, nothing backed sort of solely by Democrats has passed. A few weeks ago, we saw the Senate vote down a bill that would have created a three-day waiting period for most gun purchases. Recently, the House killed off a measure that would have allowed people to add their own name to this voluntary exclusion list so that they couldn't purchase a gun. This bill was really aimed at reducing suicides, but Republicans cautioned people could be coerced into giving up their Second Amendment rights. We've also had debate here in New Hampshire over the red flag law. That measure was voted down too. As Steve mentioned, Maine has its own version of this law. In New Hampshire, the bill would have allowed friends, family, or the police to petition a court to take away someone's guns because they pose a risk to themselves or to others. But Republican opponents You know, they don't really believe there's proof that these kinds of laws prevent gun violence. And some saw the Lewiston shooting as evidence of that.
Yeah, I'll just jump in and add that the red flag that Todd mentioned is also an aspiration for gun safety advocates here in Maine. They've argued that Maine's version is too cumbersome, and that's why it wasn't used to get the weapons of the Lewiston gunman. Of course, the counter argument is that it should have been used and just wasn't. But it's been used plenty of times since the October shootings, some 200 times actually. Before Lewiston, it had been used roughly 100 times over the course of 3 years, and most police departments didn't use it at all. Some cops have complained that it's just too cumbersome, but they're certainly using it now.
Then there's another bill here in New Hampshire that does look like it could become law, and that is Bradley's Law. Now, this measure is named after Bradley Haas, the security guard that was killed at New Hampshire Hospital. Todd, what would that bill do, and where does it stand right now?
So this bill would require the state to share information with the FBI, which runs the background check system when someone purchases certain types of guns at gun shops in the state, the NICS system, it's sometimes called. So under this bill, when someone is found incompetent to stand trial in the state of New Hampshire, or if they're involuntarily committed to a psychiatric institution, that finding would be shared with the FBI so that if that person then attempted to buy a gun, they would get flagged. The New Hampshire shooter had previously been involuntarily committed to that facility, so he should have been barred from owning a gun. New Hampshire, though, right now is one of just five states across the country that doesn't share that information with the FBI, so this bill would do that. It would also create an appeal process so that people who have had their gun rights stripped for one of these reasons would be able to reapply. And on timing, a House committee is scheduled to take up a vote on whether to recommend this bill next week. It does have bipartisan sponsors, but there are certainly factions that oppose this legislation. So it will be interesting to see if it has the votes to pass.
Yeah. Now, Steve, the Lewiston gunman was in the midst of his own mental health crisis when he went on a shooting spree. So what's the talk about increased mental health care spending look like in Maine?
Well, I think there's certainly greater urgency to address mental health care spending, and you've seen that in the governor's proposal, as well as another bill from House Speaker Rachel Talbot Ross that effectively plows more money into a similar slate of initiatives, including the network of crisis centers that I mentioned earlier. And a lot of that is because, as you mentioned, the gunman was clearly suffering from a sustained and well-documented mental health breakdown. The problem is that not nearly enough was done about it. And that's been a huge complaint from survivors of the shooting and family members of victims. Some of them have said, yeah, sure, pass more gun control, but also enforce the laws that we have.
So in watching these debates, have either of you noticed a change in tone this session, you know, an urgency? Todd, anything feel different at the State House in Concord?
You know, as much as I think people were shaken by the hospital shooting, the central debate over gun rights, over gun control, doesn't feel like it's changed much in New Hampshire. Even Bradley's bill, the NICS bill, it may seem like a straightforward proposal. Nearly every other state has adopted it, but it still could face a floor fight. So I think on balance, people recognize, you know, these shootings are a tragedy, but I don't see a lot of real momentum here, at least to do anything except continue supporting mental health. That is something that both parties in New Hampshire continue to not only say they back, but they've also allocated real money for. But I'm curious, maybe Steve wants to jump in on how things have changed in Maine since the Lewiston event.
Yeah, I think it's unclear. I think it's certainly energized the gun safety activists and possibly, you know, resulted in the expansion of their coalition. But the big question is whether the overriding sense that the Lewiston shooting could and should have been prevented will undercut whatever momentum there is for new gun control laws. You know, in some ways, the legislation drafted in response to Lewiston is indicative of that dynamic. You know, bump stock bans, waiting periods, and even the background check expansion proposal would not have prevented that particular mass shooting. But supporters of those initiatives here are trying to make the case that such measures might prevent the next one.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. Steve Missler is Maine Public's chief political correspondent. Steve, thank you.
Thank you.
And NHPR's Todd Bookman, thanks so much for being in the studio. Todd?
Thank you, Rick.
You can find the reporting at mainpublic.org and nhpr.org. And for help in a mental health or substance use crisis, you can call or text 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. Let's look ahead now. New Hampshire Town Meeting Day is coming up on Tuesday. It's that time when voters weigh in on local issues. And Hanover's town manager, Alex Torpy, has created a new guide for towns and voters to better understand the process in their community. And he joins us now. Good morning, Alex.
Morning.
Tell me more about this handbook. Why did you decide to make it?
Well, I just moved up to New Hampshire about a little less than 2 years ago, and I've been working in municipal government for probably 15 years in an elected capacity, in an appointed capacity, as a volunteer, kind of all across the board. And coming up here to New Hampshire, one of the reasons why I came here and came to Hanover was the sort of deep commitment to local civic engagement and that communities come together and make collaborative decisions about their futures. And it was just very compelling. It's such a unique way to govern, and it's such an important part of the state's history. But there's also a lot of questions out there about how to do this. And some of those questions I'm asking coming up here and asking my colleague town managers in other towns, what's worked, what hasn't worked. And there are some kind of outstanding questions, you know, a lot of which center around how do we get people to proactively want to engage in some of these issues so that it doesn't take something going wrong to get people really engaged and paying attention.
What are some ways that towns can get people more engaged in the meeting day process on a regular basis?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a great question because there were some really good best practices that came out from surveying town managers, town clerks in New Hampshire and Vermont. So an easy one, for example, a lot of towns put together an annual town report that includes the town warrant. But often those documents are pretty long. Ours in Hanover is a couple hundred pages. It's a lot to ask someone to read cover to cover.
Right.
So even just sending a postcard to every house with some of the highlights of what's being discussed, maybe what the important themes are at that year's town meeting, and then giving people the opportunity to go get more information. But a lack of childcare services, I mean, that's a big issue in New Hampshire generally. But there are a lot of folks who can't come to town meeting. If you're a single parent and you have a kid at home, what's your choice? You either get to participate in democracy or take care of your kid. And that's not a fair choice to put someone in. So a lot of towns, we talked about in a couple towns, and we may try this in Hanover's, providing childcare services or helping connect people to those resources. There was a few more ideas that we identified about explaining warrant article issues and using good language to get people interested, but also making sure that you're being fair in how you're presenting the issue to people so they can come to their own decision.
Alex, say someone has never been to a town meeting day but are just now deciding to get involved. What can they expect to happen once they get to the meeting? What should they know about the process?
Well, that's a really great question. And there's going to be a lot of variation depending on what community you're in. And so I think probably the best advice that I could give people is reaching out to people that are active in your community already. And so you've got a bunch of different local elected officials, your town clerk, your supervisors, your moderator. Oftentimes in most towns in New Hampshire, all those folks are pretty accessible. So if someone's interested, you might just shoot an email or stop by town hall or call and say, hey, how can I learn more? A lot of times towns do have information on the website about how you can get engaged. And then the New Hampshire Municipal Association also has some really good resources that we link to at the end of our handbook that are free, you know, nonpartisan resources that NHMA provides. And some of those are things like what rights you have as a citizen. So if you go to town meeting, you know what you're allowed to make a motion on and what you can do and not do. And so looking at some of those resources ahead of time and maybe trying to find a community group that you can plug into to engage with before you actually go, so you feel a little more comfortable on town meeting day.
A little bit of preparation.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Alex Torpy is Hanover's town manager. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You can find the guide, Town Meeting Best Practices, at nhtownmeeting.com. I'm Rick Ganley, and this is NHPR.